If you were able to come out to our week at camp celebration a couple weeks ago, thank you so much for celebrating with us. We got to baptize more teenagers this morning, and so you're going to get to see that next week here, and we're just so excited for what God's doing in the lives of students. My name is Andrew Wade. I'm your student minister here, and I am not Chris Wall. He is in Prague. He's in Prague. When you write it down, it says Prague, but it's Prague. He's in Prague. He's at an IMB Europe gathering with all the European missionaries for the IMB and their families. And so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, the end of Matthew chapter 6 today. Go ahead and get there, and then we'll dive into it together. I'm so pumped for our students. I was sitting in our broadcast area, our makeshift broadcast area for the summer, and we've got teenagers calling cues and camera stuff, and that video was created, produced, recorded by teenagers. I'm so grateful that we get an opportunity to usher in these giftings and use them for the church and for the gospel. I think it's such a cool part of my job to be on the sidelines watching them do it, right? And so when I teach our students, like on a Wednesday night when we have a passage of scripture that we're going to go over together, I like to start usually two different ways. Sometimes I'll do both of them. So that's how I'm going to start this morning. One of the things that we like to acknowledge when we gather together is that this is a powerful tool. It can also be a very powerful distraction. And so I would encourage you to turn it off. I would encourage you this morning to take it out and put it where you can't reach it. Put it under your chair. If you're reading on it, that's great, but don't get distracted by all the things. You know what I'm saying? So it can be a very powerful tool, but it can be a very powerful distraction. And during our time together, let's especially not let it be a distraction to us. And so I just want to challenge you like I challenge our students when we gather. The other question that I like to ask before that we dive into a passage of scripture is this. Are you ready? Are you ready to hear from the Lord? Are you here in anticipation? Because he has something for you this morning, church. And I just want to caution you from going through the motions on a Sunday. Are you ready? Good. We're going to stand together for the reading of our passage this morning. It's Matthew chapter 6. We're starting in verse 25. Let's stand together to honor God's word. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to your lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about your clothes? Observe how the wild flowers of the fields grow. They don't labor or spin thread, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which are here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do so much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Grab a seat. The New International Version Bible titles this section, Do Not Worry. The ESV titles it, "Do Not Be Anxious." I read out of the CSB, I teach out of the CSB, and it is titled, "The Cure for Anxiety." Now, there's many today who are getting medical help for anxiety. And nothing today is meant to make light of that reality, but Scripture does point to a couple of areas specifically when we look at worry. And so that's what we're going to dive into this morning. The passage starts in verse 25 with a therefore. Do you have that in your Bible? I have it in mine. And I was always taught to find out what the therefore is there for. So let's do that. If you were with us last week, you heard Brennan speak on verse 19 through 24. I just want to read it again just as a reminder so we know what the therefore is there for, okay? Verse 19 says, "Don't store up for yourself treasure on earth where moss and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moss nor rust destroy and where neither thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? For no one can serve two masters, since he will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Here on this giant rock that we are all floating on, it's all superficial. We can't take any of it with us. And so because you should only have one master, because you shouldn't serve more than one master, that's what gets us to where we are in verse 25. "Therefore, I tell you," look at it again with me, "don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing?" So we have the eating and the drinking. You've got the youth guy up. You can see on the app, I've clearly labeled this section the eating and the drinking. I was very creative. It's important, right? The eating and the drinking. We talk about it all the time. Right? Pastor Chris talked about fasting 2 weeks ago. And that's a very important conversation because eating and drinking is so prevalent in our lives. It happens. It reoccurs over and over again, the eating and the drinking. I know that that message impacted some people 2 weeks ago on fasting. Because I had lunch with a student on Wednesday of that week. He requested Canes, as 99% of our students do. And when we sat down, that was the first meal he'd had since Sunday. Because he practiced fasting. And he's walking through some things. And he sat across from me and he said, "Man, I've had more clarity in my spiritual life the past few days." And he shared with me his testimony about fasting. And I got to share with him eating meat for the first time in 3 days. It was awesome. But this is like so common in our lives, the eating and the drinking. And as I look at it, right, it's regular. It's almost a habit. It's almost a pattern. And I know because of what our work at the Mission Center that there are people in our community that do worry about their eating and their drinking. I know that. What would a reoccurring worry be for you, though? If it's not that, I'm asking you what's the eating and the drinking for you in this passage, a regular occurring worry that you find that has plagued your thoughts lately? And it could be a season of that. I get that, right? But is there something that continually is on your mind, that continually you worry about and continually you try and control and continually and now it's just regular in your life, like eating and drinking? Do you have something like that that you could pinpoint today? Something that's caused worry? And now you think about it almost like we think about food or drink. Just regular. Verse 26. Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Man, and then he just punches it right here. Aren't you worth more than they are? Have you forgotten? Oh, have you forgotten your worth? And don't hear me wrong, church. The worth that he says you have, not the worth that you've really worked really, really hard to get. That's not what this is talking about. I think sometimes we focus on that worth way more than we look to the worth that he gives us as a child of his. Have you forgotten? This isn't about your kingdom. This isn't about your kingdom, what you've built up. It's about his. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But it's about his kingdom. The value that he gives you is so much more worth whatever you're trying to accomplish and gain and build on your own. And that, man, it just lays it out there. Have you forgotten your worth? Because you continue to try and create value on your own, and that's caused this reoccurring thing that's happening in your life, this thing that plagues you, this worry, this anxiety that's gone on, because you continue to try and build it on your own. Have you forgotten how worthy you are in his sight and what he calls you as a son or a daughter, as an heir of his kingdom? We cannot forget that. Are you able to pinpoint something like that in your life today? I wonder if as we walk through this passage, you'd be able to lay that down at your king's feet today. So we have the eating and the drinking. Happens all the time in my life. Then we get to the clothing, right? Which I care much less about in my life than the eating and the drinking. My mom's here. I have my dress Carhartt on today. So let's look at the text as it moves on to this conversation about clothing. Why do you worry about clothes? Verse 28, sorry. Why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wild flowers of the fields grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned by these. I read that, and because of my extensive time with middle schoolers, that's immediately where I went. As I prepared for this, I went straight back to middle school because I was a Walmart family. I'm just going to be honest with you. I know my mom's here. I love you, Mom. I was a Walmart family, and there was a status symbol created in my middle school by other people who wore some name brand things. Like some Abercrombie, like some Hollister, right? And I didn't wear any of those, ever, right? Unless, like, we found it at, like, the Goodwill, or it was left over at a youth event. But for me in middle school, that was a very status thing, right? The popular kids wore a certain level, a certain brand, and I knew I wasn't there because the clothing that I had was not the same as the clothing that they had, and that's just how it was. And in the job that I have now, I never really left middle school and high school. But it affects me much less as an adult. I don't know if that's the same for you. I don't know if your outward expression is a social status still. But maybe it's not a clothing conversation. Maybe it's something else that is causing worry. And the reality is it's causing that because ultimately it's a social status. And ultimately you have that thing, or you've purchased that thing, or you're investing in that thing, or it's a part of your life. Ultimately, because it's about your kingdom. And it's not about his kingdom. And that thing, that social status thing, is ultimately causing worry in your life. And I look at this, and he says, why do you worry about that? Why do you worry about those things? He's going to take care of you. Because ultimately, it's for your glory and not his glory, for your kingdom and not his kingdom. And if we would turn things and make it about his kingdom, we would be reminded that we worry much less. Is there a status symbol that you need to let go of? I don't know what that is. Maybe it's a job title. Maybe it's people. Maybe it's a thing. He's going to take care of you. Or have you forgotten that? That's what it says right here, verse 28. Verse 28 says, do you observe his creation? Why do you worry about clothes? Observe the wildflowers, how they grow. See, I think often, I don't know if you're anything like me. I think a lot of times we'll go through phases like where we have worship problems, like where it is just kind of routine. And I think a lot of times our worship problems and our worry problems are really memory problems. Like we're not remembering all that he's done in our life. We're not remembering how good he's been to us. We're not remembering that he really is a good king, and we really can do everything to build his kingdom and not our own kingdom. He's going to take care of you. That's what verse 30 says. Won't he do much more for you? Much more for you. We got the eating and the drinking, and we got the clothing. So let's look at the kingdom. Verse 30. If that's how God clothes the grass, the field, which are here today and thrown into the first tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. So don't worry, saying what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear. For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you seek are going to be provided for you. If the answer is seek first the kingdom, if that's the answer, how do we do that? What's it look like for you to seek first the kingdom? And if I'm not seeking it first, maybe I'm seeking it like seventh. What other things am I seeking first instead if I'm not seeking the kingdom first? I'd like for a minute for you to think about the progression of your day. Now, everyone in this room We all have different seasons of life. Lately, the beginning of the progression of my day has started with little feet entering my room and a face about right here. Dad, wrestle. Amos wants to wrestle. All day, every day, from the moment we're awake or not awake yet. I want you to think about the progression of your day, how it starts. Because I want to take this very practically for a moment with you. What do you seek first in the progression of your day? What are you seeking first? Again, we just highlighted how much of a distraction this could be, but I would argue that many of us have this in our hands first. What do you seek first in your day? What's the first thing that goes on? If you were to seek him first, what would have to change? If you really were to seek him and his kingdom first, what changes would need to take place? I want you to think about it. Let's get really practical in your life, in your house, in your family, with your schedule. You're like, Andrew, I seek him later in the day. Okay, but what if you sought him first? What would that look like? Maybe it was a habit that you had gotten into before, and if you were to be honest with yourself, you're not in it anymore. Maybe this is a great season to go, I'm going to wake up and seek him first every day in the morning, before the day starts, before anybody comes in, before I go out, whatever that is. And parents, can I encourage you, as someone who works with your kids a lot, if you're going to seek him first in the morning, would you do it where they can catch you doing it? Would you find a spot on the kitchen table that they can walk in and go, wow, I have a memory of my parents in the Word every morning? That'll go way farther than what you know or think. What would happen in your life if you really sought him first? I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe that's our reading plan, a morning devotional. Right now, my wife is doing a daily Devo by Shane and Shane that's audio that has music and worship and teaching, and she puts it on in the morning, and it starts her day. What would it look like for you to seek first, before seeking all the other things and all the other people and all the other stuff? Practically seek him first in your day. And maybe as we look to that, seek first the kingdom, maybe it's not the when for you. Maybe it's the what when it comes to seeking the kingdom. What do I seek first instead of him? And ultimately, all of that seeking something else first instead of him, if we were to be honest, it really has caused a lot of worry. Because I'm trying really, really hard instead of saying, God, I need you to do the work. Is there an area that you need to seek him first in? Are you seeking him first in your marriage? Are you seeking him first when it comes to your job? Are you seeking him first when it comes to your family's weekend schedules and how often we gather together like this? Is it obvious to the lost people that see you on the weekend? Is it obvious to the people who are looking at your relationship? Are you seeking him first? Maybe there's an area in your life, and if you were to be honest, you're saying, I'm probably not seeking him first in that area. Maybe it's been a while since you sought the kingdom first when it came to the media that you consume, when it came to the things that you scrolled through. Would I know by your For You page that you sought the kingdom first, students? If you didn't follow that, it's okay. So if we're going to do that, if we're going to seek the kingdom first, if we as a body, we as a people are going to say, this week, I'm going to seek the kingdom first. Why? I mean, I get it says to, but like, why? Why do we want to seek the kingdom first? What's the point? Listen. And maybe you're here today and this is it for you. Okay. Either Jesus is king or he's not. But if he is, man, you got to know that he is a really good king. He is so the king worth seeking first. He is Jesus. He's not a loser. If you're seeking his kingdom first, and he is the king, the God in flesh, man, he's so much of a better king than you. He's so much of a better king than you or me or any of us could ever be. But if that's true, why do we keep building up our own kingdoms and not his? Man, he's so much better of a king. He's so much more worthy of us building up his kingdom. And building his kingdom is so rewarding. And listen, church, building up your kingdom is just exhausting. Maybe we would get less tired and less anxious and worry less if we stopped focusing our own kingdoms and we started building his in every aspect of our lives. Okay, I'm gonna get off the soapbox. So when it comes to seeking first the kingdom, he laid out two areas, the eating and the drinking, a reoccurring thing in your life right now. Is there something that plagues your mind, that worries you, that has you anxious, that ultimately you're trying to control, you're trying to keep on your schedule, you're trying to keep going, and he's saying, it's time. You really do just need to lay that down. Maybe it's the clothing, the status symbol things, the kingdom that you're building, and if you could stop and move that energy and that focus and that time and that expenditure onto kingdom things, it would be so much less exhausting for you and so much more rewarding. Now, I think there's a lot of things that stop us from doing that. So that's really my next question for you is, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from laying it down? What's stopping you from giving it to him? And as I read this passage, I feel led to bring up, I was going to leave it out, but here we go. Verse 30 has this little ending that bothers me. And it's okay to say that, church. One of the things that we try and create with teenagers is a place through our D group that they can come in and go, I didn't like what the Bible said this week. Okay, let's talk about it. I don't know that I had a place to do that when I was a teenager. But there's this place in verse 30, and I think sometimes we probably don't get it right. Verse 30. If that's how he clothes the grass in the field, which are here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. And for me, it's easy to read that and be discouraged. It's easy for me, because I think a lot of times that's me. I'm the one of little faith. And so why should I even try and cast my cares on him? Because I'm the one of little faith, and I don't know how that's going to go. What even is the point if I've got little faith? Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, Paul reminds us that our struggle shouldn't be against the things of the world, right? Just like we talked about and we read that the therefore was therefore because all the stuff on the rock, you can't take it with you. Our struggle shouldn't be against the things of this world. But as a believer, they should be against the things of the kingdom and the enemy of the kingdom. Paul reminds us that our struggle shouldn't be here, but that there are greater battles waging war, battles that we have to armor up for. Verse 16 says, in every situation of Ephesians 6, verse 16, in every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Right? And so like we read that and then we look back to this verse where he just calls them out as people of little faith. And we think, for me to do all of this, I've got to have a really big faith shield, right? This is what we think. Thanks, Paige. This is what we think our shield has to look like. Like we read, oh, you have little faith, and we're going, well, I don't have one of those, so I'm probably out. Like the whole thing, I'm probably out. Like the whole, like, not worrying about stuff. I don't have a big shield, so I'm probably out. Here's the deal. I've gotten to spend some time with some people in this room, and your faith shields are incredible. Hearing what God's done in your life and the ornaments you have and, like, the crest on your shield and all the things. I'm still not talking about a literal shield, guys. But the faith that you have had in your life and what God has taken you through, it's amazing. Thank you. Please continue to let the younger generation hang out with you and hear about your shield. But I think for a lot of people in the room, this is like the size of our shield, right? Or at least we think it is. My little, there he is. That's it. And we read this passage, I'm going to take it off, okay. We read this passage and it's like, oh, you have little faith. And I'm like, I don't know, my faith shield is probably about this big right now. So why should I even start? Why should I even try? Because I'm probably one of these people when he says, oh, you have little faith, because that's about what I got right there today. Later in Matthew, in chapter 17, Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll tell this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. I so want to say to you, if you're here this morning and you're feeling like this is it, this is the amount of faith that you got today, don't be discouraged. Begin practicing with it. Begin saying to him, I know I need to put this at your feet. And so today I'm going to pray and I'm going to give this over to you because this is what I got. And I know you can do way more with it. I know that this in your hands is way more powerful than it in my hands. Don't be discouraged when you read this. Don't let anything get in the way today. Maybe you've pinpointed an area that we've walked through here in Matthew 6, this reoccurring worry that's in your life that you continue not to give over to him. Maybe your big faith moment today is praying with one of our pastors and going, look, this is it for me. I haven't given this over to the Lord, and it continues to mess things up for me. Maybe it's a social status thing. Some worry that has crept in that you're working really, really hard to build for yourself, and you need to stop because you just continue to get exhausted. This building of our own kingdom instead of his. Now, I I just want to speak to this real quick. Church, repentance isn't a bad thing. Like, it's actually, for the life of a believer, it's like a really, really good thing for you to find yourself in a place that you need repentance. And it should be celebrated. But here's my caution. I think a lot of times when we get to like here and we talk about things that like we need to let go of or we need to start doing or do differently, or I think a lot of times we get here as really good Baptists, or maybe even just in the conversation of discipleship, it becomes another checklist for you. It becomes another thing solely focused on your obedience. And I would challenge you today not to make it about obedience, but just make it about dependence. God, in my walk with you, I just want to depend on you. Here's my heart. Would you take it and do way more with it than what I can do? Here's my marriage. Would you take it and do way more with it than what I could do? Here's my job. Here's, you fill in the blank. Because I think a lot of times what we want to do when we get here and we get to a place and we know in our hearts that we need to repent, it then becomes more checklists for us and less going, God, I just want to depend on you every day. This idea of seeking you first, it's not about a checklist. It's about me waking up and reminding myself that I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's his kingdom today that I want to honor and build up, not my own. Moving from worry to dependence. So how's your dependence lately? How's your dependence on him going? What do you need today? What do you need to do today to go from worry to dependence? As we move to close, our pastor's going to be down front. Our minister's going to be here to meet with you. And I just want to challenge you. I want to challenge you because I still think there's some people in the room going, yeah, I'm probably not ready yet. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're ready. It's time that you put this little shield you got to work and step down and pray with somebody and leave some things at the altar at Jesus' feet today, because you've been building your kingdom and we're not meant to build our own kingdoms. We just end up tired and exhausted and anxious. We're meant to build his kingdom. So maybe today you need to pray with somebody. Maybe today you need to talk with your spouse today. Maybe today you need to pray with a mentor, somebody that you would say has one of these shields. You need to go to them today and have a conversation. Maybe today you need to confess and have some accountabilities. Our pastors are going to be down front. I challenge you to respond to the word today. Let's pray. God, there is so much packed into this little passage. And I would just ask today that we would not allow things to stop us from stepping out in faith, from seeking first the kingdom. There's an area that we've been seeking first instead of you. I ask that you would reveal that to us and that we would not leave here without meeting with you about it. Father, if there are marriages or relationships that have sought other things instead of you, God, would you draw them back to yourself? I just ask that you'd be with this time of response, God, that people would move and be honest and open with one another. And so would you continue to speak to the hearts and lives of people in here today? And if anyone in here doesn't know you this morning, would they step out in faith for the first time and come to know you? In Jesus' name.